Hello, everybody. Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with the Tactical Fitness Report, and this is second part of our series. We're calling this the Goldilocks series of preparedness. First one we did, as you remember, it was the underprepared person gets ready for a selection program. We tended to beat up on the not only on the student for being underprepared, for not understanding the process, but also even the recruiting process that kind of keeps them in this underprepared state to a degree. So now we're going to go just the opposite. We're going to go to the overprepared kid who is getting ready for spec ops. And where I see this a lot, unfortunately, is with the guys that we made recommendations to, hey, you know, don't do this right out of high school. You're not really ready yet. You know, take the next 4 years at college and start training. Well, here's the problem. One problem with that. If you're going to train for buds for 4 years and do nothing but buds training prep for 4 years, you're going to be overtraining. So we got to come up with a system for you, whether that's a periodized program where you do some cycles of this and that, or you play a sport. You know, go play a sport.
Especially like an intramural sport or something.
Yeah, give yourself a break from, you know, hard training because you will fall apart. So, Jeff, you want to start this one off with, you know, people that you've seen in the overtraining category?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to give some real quick structure to this because we could, so I'm not wandering like my thoughts tend to do. Let's say that this individual is a college student, right? They graduated high school, was an athlete, right? They want to be a SEAL, but they recognize their need to really train longer because they're not mature and whatever it is at 18. They just really feel compelled to keep training and they're going to go to school, make good use of their time. So that's, you know, this could be anyone. This could be someone going off, you know, working a skilled labor job for a couple of years. But we're just going to use the construct of colleges just so you guys can get timeline.
Good point.
So I think the big problem with someone that is going to go, like Stu has said, for 4 years of preparation, those individuals get so enveloped into that timeline that we end up perpetually overtraining too often. Because so, like, kind of off camera, what I said to Stu is, now, for example, I'll look at, you know, Stu and I will look at our calendar year and go, well, I got these holidays between Christmas breaks, and then I've got conferences I want to attend to and all those sort of things. So instead of me looking at it like, oh my God, like I have all these breaks in training, I look at it like those are my designed in scheduled deloading times. There's that very common conversation that happens with a college student. Perfectly, they're like working real hard. They're going to go home for Christmas break, and what do they got to do? They got nothing else but to do is eat, sleep, and train. Right.
Right.
What SEAL stands for? Sleep, eat, and lift. Right? So, but my suggestion is, because, like, especially if you're in that college scenario, most college students should be in a good process in the midst of it. And we go to holidays and it's like, oh, I got nothing else to do, but we tend to not sleep quite as well. Movement, our diet gets a little bit wonky because it's just, we don't have a timeline. So I look at them. I'm not saying don't train.
Yeah.
I'm saying in this context, take care of yourself too, right? Plan off times, plan like purposely, like enjoy college, right? On homecoming weekend, don't cut your ear off to spite your face. You know, maybe get a light jog in, but take some time off. That's kind of where I want to start this conversation.
Yeah, you know, because here's the bit, you know, overprepared is basically you're going to be building yourself up and you're probably going to hit all the optimal scores that you need to be, but you still have maybe 6 or 8 months before you head off to buds. You know, that's where the dilemma starts. Right.
Yeah.
You're ready for buds and you're 6 months out. What do you do? Well, here's what a lot of guys I see and I have seen in years past do. They start doing these series of gut checks. You know, they're going to say, yeah, Hey, I'm going to go run Marine Corps Marathon. I'm like, all right, it's not really necessary, but how about a half marathon? You know, I'll compromise with you there.
Right.
I'd say one of my biggest jobs when I'm coaching these guys, especially at the Naval Academy level, is pulling the reins on them. You know, say, look, don't go do the JFK 50 miler, mm-hmm, just for fun, right? Just for a gut check right? Just to prove yourself that you can run 50 miles. Hey, that's great. You know, you can do that. That is a mental challenge, you know, but yeah, there are many, many ways that you can, you know, challenge yourself mentally, other than, you know, doing Ironmans and, you know, endurance runs.
When you say that, Stu, my immediate thought is this, folks, is that the 50K, right, or the 50 mile you're talking about, as an example, the likelihood of that 50 miler helping, advancing, improving your training is like minuscule.
Yeah.
The likelihood of that setting your training back weeks, if not months, is,
yeah,
I don't want to say an almost guarantee, but
oh, it is
pretty close.
I've seen guys that don't listen. They go ahead and do it anyway because, you know, they're 22 years old and they're freaking animals. I mean, they're doing everything perfect, right? But they get this idea to go do a gut check. It's almost like this peer pressure thing that occurs in like spec ops candidates conversations, and they're like, hey, we're going to go do the, you know, JFK 50 miler. We're going to do the Marine Corps. Yeah, I know it's only a week away, but let's go ahead and do it. You know,
there's
no preparation for it, even though they're probably running, you know, 25, 30 plus miles a week anyway. They're just not ready for, you know, to run a pure marathon, and they wind up doing great on it. You know, I've seen them 3-hour runs, you know, just crushing, you know, those things. But then they come back, like you said, they come back and they're hurt. You know, they're hobbling around for the rest of the week. They're not lifting at all. They're maybe do some upper body exercises, but even then, it's pretty weak.
You're not helping yourself necessarily. I mean, you're really not. And so, but you know, around this construct of like the 50 mile before, like the upside or the positive of that is, especially if we put that before a holiday, for example, I don't want to put a 50 miler, but we're not saying, hey, before the holidays, don't do something cool. Go do something fun. Maybe run a 5K or a 10K. That's something that you could like, I'm going to run this thing really hard.
Yeah, like, push hard. I mean, a 10K at an 8-minute mile pace is a waste of time.
Yeah. There's a ton of 5Ks out there too.
Push that thing at a 6-minute mile pace, you'll get your money's worth.
Right. And so that's like, set yourself up for success. I mean, when's the last time? Because I was like, oh, 50 miler. Like, well, when's the last time that a non-runner, like you've been training all year and you're not really, it's not that running's your weakness, but you're running it because you need to prepare. But, and I've done this before. I used to do this all the time. And actually I'm really strongly consider doing it now. Just for a challenge is like, well, why don't you just do a 5K? Like do a holiday 5K or like the turkey trot and Thanksgiving, and like, I'm going to run my ass off and see what I can do.
Right.
And you're going to get done, and it's going to help you.
Yes.
You're going to see where you're at. You're going to be in a good social environment. You'll be able to test yourself a little bit, but you're not going to overreach or overtrain.
Right.
And now you're cruising into the holiday, take a day or two off from that race, and then you're going to get some super compensation from it.
Yeah.
And so that's the other side too, is, you know, I guess the moral of all this is that if you have 4 years or two or three or whatever it may be, we understand that this constant self-evaluation can just be a little bit like meh, a little bit dull and boring and hard to manage, but it won't be if you make yourself take breaks, right?
Yep.
That will solidify a lot of these issues of just going like, hey, at least every month I'm going to take a 3-day block off somewhere. That's also to include a day off here, day off here, but bam, 3 days off, right? Maybe you still do some yoga. Maybe you do get in the water and just do some stretching, but because a lot of times that's kind of the mind plays tricks on us. We're like, oh, I got to go. People are out training me. People are training harder than me. But we got to start thinking, it's he or she who recovers the best,
yes,
is able to train with more frequency, more intensity, and mitigating as much risk as, because the reality is the type of training that is really desired or that is necessary for selection training, it's rough. We know that. Mm-hmm. The best way to manage that, excuse me, is take your program and schedule some off time.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I have been doing, and I'm just doing it for me because I'm over 40 and it helps tremendously, you know, especially if I'm working out with 22-year-olds still, is I turn one of my, what used to be a hard day in the middle of the week, into a mobility day. Mm-hmm. And now my guys are starting to do it with me. And in fact, we did a mobility day on Wednesday this week, and today we did the double PST. And you would be amazed at, well, I guess you wouldn't, because this is science of physiology. You know, they were amazed at their scores, not only on the first PST, but the second PST, that they actually were able to maintain a running pace, a second 500-yard swim that was fast, and their PT was, you know, maybe 10 or 15% off of what their first one was, which right. is pretty good. And, you know, that's a good way to do things. You know, just add that middle of the week easy day in there. You get two or three hard days, easy mobility day. And like I said, my mobility days aren't easy. They still take an hour and a half. You know, I'm non-impact cardio. I'm foam rolling. I'm stretching. I'm using the car buffer. Jeff's brilliant idea that he shared with me.
I stole it from the Pirates.
I know. And people are we all steal things, but yeah. You shared it with me, so I think you're the genius for sharing it. So, but that has been a life changer. And you know, you do that for 50, 60 minutes, and then you go swim and do all the dynamic stretches you can in chest deep water. Mm-hmm. I introduced a FBI guy today to that one, nice. Or yesterday, who's 55. You know, still in the FBI, and he left there like, he says, I'm not in any pain. I can't believe it. I'm 55 years old, been doing this for 30 years. And yep. I am not in any pain right now. I said, well, it won't last forever, but you know, it's a good way to do that. But that's a good way to, like you said, add in these deloading easy days and focus on things that you need to be focusing on anyway, your mobility. I mean, mobility is going to help you, because here's what happens, and this is the problem, and this is on the severe end of that. And we had some hard dudes. I mean, the guys that, you know, everybody at the Naval Academy looked up to, because they were just like the hardest dudes ever. I mean, best PST scores, you know, under a log, under a boat, you know, do the SOAS thing, crushed it, you know, were rucking, you know, no problem. I mean, they could do like, you know, 8-minute miles with a ruck on. I mean, just crazy. Well, guess what happens? You know, he does a big long triathlon, does a 50 miler, and he actually had to get both hips labrum. He had two labrum tears in his hips, you know, so he just overworked himself the good news is, like 20 years ago, or maybe 30 years ago when I was in, that would have sent you out. I mean, because the hip labrum tears were a disqualifier. Now, surgery's gotten so good that shoulder labrums, hip labrums, you can actually get those repaired and come back and go to buds, you know, if you get the right waivers. But, you know, why do that to yourself? I mean, it's
right. I mean. Yeah. So the misconception, folks, I've been doing it so long, and Stu's been doing it so long, the cliche of listening to your body really makes sense to us. And I know that's a very difficult concept for some of you to really kind of step outside your body and look and see how you're feeling and moving. But understand that the misconception is that you are losing ground with off days. If you've been training really hard, been training really efficiently, your off days, they're arguably as important.
They're growth days if you're doing it right.
Correct.
They're, if your off days are because you can't move,
that's not good.
That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah. So understand, like, the most common times where off time deteriorates your training comes off of a couple things. Injury, like you've hurt yourself, you are going to detrain. Yep, because that's your body's mechanism of saying, hey man, we gave you the keys of the castle. You wore the tread off your tires, so now you're hurt. You got to take time off. That's one. The other one is illness, right? You get sick, right? It takes some time. But taking off days, planned, programmed, because you're like, man, I feel really tired and stiff today, and I've been training, like, this is my eighth day training in a row. It's time to take a day, like a full day off.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen is you're like, people are like, oh, man, someone's out training me. Well, yeah, they are, and that's why they're going to overtrain. And that's why you're going to – those people, you know, I would venture to say – I'm gonna guess. Let's say there's a 200-person Buds class, which is pretty normal, I think, these days, somewhere around 200. I would say maybe 10, 15% of them showed up so overtrained because they were doing other stuff on the side and running and doing these things thinking that was going to help them. They showed up. And they just physically couldn't handle it because they went into Buds with one foot already in out the door, in the grave, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree that there were some guys that were good dudes. I mean, put out hard, and you felt you just heartbroken that they didn't make it because you knew they were in better shape than you were, you know, but they just fell apart. You know, on the flip side to that, the one we previously did, the underprepared, I would say that's over half of your initial Buds class.
Yep.
People just are underprepared. They're just not ready. So I know we're talking a little bit about the overprepared as but it's something we need to talk about because there are people who will overprepare themselves and hurt. In fact, you just mentioned something about the keys to the castle. I'm going to share all the overtraining symptoms with the group. I'm just going to share my screen here because I pulled it up as an article that I wrote recently. Well, I actually wrote this a while back ago, but you know what I did? And my wife gets on me all the time perfectly, at perfect timing, because she sees these symptoms that I don't realize. Mm-hmm. So, you know, make yourself just Google it. You can Google overtraining symptoms, print it out, and just give it to your training partner, give it to your girlfriend, give it to your mom, whoever.
Stick it on your mirror.
Yeah, stick it on your mirror, and you look through these things, and you can, you know, somebody is going to tell you, because I didn't realize it. You know, I was grumpy. In fact, I'll just show you what I got here. Let me just share my desktop. So there we go. So you guys can see here. Here's some overtraining symptoms. Joint pain. Chronic muscle soreness. Now, chronic muscle soreness.
Yeah, there's a difference between always being a bit sore because of the training and chronic. Like, it is not – it's getting worse.
Yeah.
And it's been there for a long time.
Yeah. And it's – I mean, it's probably borderline rhabdo type stuff. You know, when you have that kind of soreness, you know, it's very possible if you have a couple other elements in there, dehydration, poor nutrition, killer workout, you know, you could be borderline rhabdo with this one.
So think lingering, not like, oh, I trained really hard and I'm sore 2 days later. No. We're saying like that discomfort in your shoulders, your hips, your necks, your ankles, and it's taking you longer and longer and longer to get moving.
You mentioned this one, sickness, lower immune system. You're just always fighting off something. Typically head and chest colds, you know, kind of come and go at frequent levels when you're overtraining. Mentally and physically drained. That's kind of a no-brainer. You know.
Yeah, the next one probably is the easiest, in my opinion, is the easiest one, folks, because think about this. We think that I'm going to train. That's going to directly correlate to improvement, right? We think, oh, that's what's going to happen. If that's not happening, you're wrong. Like, it's really that cut and dry, folks. If you're training, and like every couple weeks, you're like, man, I'm putting all this work in. What the heck? If that's happening with your runs, your swims, everything, right? Your grip strength is a big indicator. If you're having a hard time chronically holding on to bars and holding, big problem. You're overtrained.
That's a neat study too. When they, you know, they actually did a study on that, and you know, as you're familiar with that, you know, they correlated overtraining with grip strength.
Grip is a very – there's you can get the app, the touch app, right? Yeah. Or you can do – get the squeeze – or it's not ergonometer. Is it called ergonometer? That's right.
I think they're like hand ergs.
Yeah, yes, hand erg. And yeah. that is
Dynometer.
Dynometer, that's right.
Yeah.
When my we had one – no, we didn't. But that's going to be one of the metrics I'm going to utilize in my training facility in Colorado. That's going to be the one of them. It's just because it's quick.
Yep.
And they get to know their numbers. I'm like, oh, man, they'll know right away. Part of the warm-up. Hey, hit your grip. It's your nervous system identifying your state of readiness. And it's it's super accurate, provided you get familiar with what you should be performing.
You know, another test I use, Jeff, is the functional movement screener.
Yep.
Too, because that is basically a central nervous system test, and
for sure.
all those little elements. Like if you can pass it, you know, 6 months ago, but then all of a sudden you can't pass it anymore. You know, it's not because you're necessarily lacking mobility. You know, it's because your nervous system is shot and your hips are shot, and you can't do some of the exercise. So anyway, let's keep moving. So insomnia, that's a brutal one, because sleep is your number one recovery tool. And if you're not sleeping because you're overtraining, that's even worse. You know, losing fat and muscle. A lot of people tend to burn off a lot of mass.
Yeah.
If you see your weight, you see yourself losing weight.
So, yeah, the key there, folks, is it says and
muscle.
Yeah. So that's what you get, like, and this is, so I'm going to be very clear in my words. That losing fat and muscle is most apparent in high intensity interval training. And this is not a knock on CrossFit, folks. It's really, and I swear it's not. Mm-hmm. But that's what becomes very apparent in those, in that CrossFit world for beginners oftentimes, because it's so intense. And they're following the WODs, and they're like, man, I got these great results. But then a couple weeks in, they're just really chronically sore. They get sick. And it's not enough. That doesn't matter if you're doing CrossFit. We could just do high-intensity stuff all the time. It's just CrossFit is an example most people could relate to.
Right. Lack of enthusiasm for exercise. That's, you know, that's usually a hard one, because I tell you, a lot of these guys that are in the over-prepared zone have, you know, they've already gone through the enthusiasm for exercise and motivation for exercise, and they're really kind of running on discipline. You know, they're just, it's such a habit for them. So for my group, that I rarely see them losing enthusiasm for exercise. They just have other issues that are going on. So, I mean, there might be a day where you just don't lack it, you know, don't have a whole lot of enthusiasm, but, you know, that happens to everybody, I think. But, you know, I think once you get in that over-prepared zone, that's where, you know, you really don't listen to your body, because you're so disciplined and your mental toughness is top notch. And you just say, you know what, I'm going to suck it up and do it. I don't feel right, but I'm going to do it anyway. And just, you know, call it a gut check.
Yeah.
So now there's nothing wrong with that every now and then, you know, because sometimes you're just being a wuss and, you know, you just got to wake yourself up and go do something. But sometimes it's your body actually saying, hey, I'm a little broken and I need to
Day off. Use the word chronic, right? If it's
if
you're having to rely on pre-workout, that's a whole other topic, then that's not a good place to be either.
Right, that's a good point.
We can add that to if I need pre-workout to train, like,
not a good place. That's a good point. Poor attitude and grumpy. I'll be honest with you. That's where my wife gets me. She goes, "What is wrong with you? You're like, I'm grumpy or something." She knows my tone, you know, and she goes, "I think you need to take a day off." That's typically what I get.
Yeah.
But here are some real easy ones, right? And this one over here is elevated heart rate at your first time when you wake up. You know, have an understanding what your resting heart rate normally is, you know, when you're feeling good, right? But, you know, when you're starting to feel kind of crappy, check your heart rate, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to have an elevated heart rate if you're in that overtraining zone. And it's noticeable. I mean, you're looking at 10 to 20 beats per minute, you know, when you wake up first thing in the morning without, you know, having gotten up out of your bed yet, You know, that's, you know, if you're normally at 52, you know, per minute, you know, when you're laying down, and next thing you know, you're at 75 when you're in that same state, you know, you're pretty much sympathetically charged there.
Yeah.
And you need to calm that thing down and just take it easy. Yeah, that's a real big one. Increase in injuries, we talked about. Depression, I haven't really seen that one a whole lot. Sometimes it happens, you know, it's almost like just to the next level of you know, lack of enthusiasm for exercise. You know, mental breakdown, that's another level. Weight loss, we kind of talked about that. Lower testosterone levels, if you have a way to test yourself or you get yourself tested,
yeah,
you know, that's a higher cortisol levels, that's up there too. That's all part of the overtraining symptom zone.
Yeah.
Digestive issues.
Just a heads up on that too. Thorne is about to have the only FDA regulated take-home testosterone blood test.
Oh, nice.
Coming.
That's huge.
Yep, they're the only ones.
And Thorne,
they have the exclusive patent for the next 3 years.
Thorne is just incredible.
Yep.
You know, the stuff I have from them is just top notch.
Yeah.
I mean, really cool. Digestive issues, you know, that's a lot that goes on with this. I mean, not only, you know, can you get it from overtraining, but you can just get it from just overstressing. You know, anxiety can really exacerbate this one.
So along with the decreased performance that we highlighted, this is the most obvious that doesn't correlate. You think I train, I should be hungry.
Yeah.
If you're training your butt off and your loss of appetite, you need to take time off.
Yeah.
It's probably the most obvious thing other than maybe sleep.
Right.
Like we kind of tend to like tolerate bad sleep.
Yeah.
Right. Which is weird. But in terms of digestive issues, if you have a loss of appetite, that's a chronic.
Yeah. And then you're going to, yeah. And if you don't listen to that, you're going to start losing fat and muscle.
True.
You know, like you're seeing in there. So it's just another part of it. So fatigue, once again, very similar to, you know, just being drained. But unable to complete workouts, that's a good indication too.
Sure.
And where I've seen it is one reason why I like to kind of do a, you know, the standard, I mean, it has been doing this for decades. You know, it's the standard PT pyramid, pull up, push up, sit ups, you know, or you can throw in dips in there too. You know, 1 to 10, back to 1, you know, and if that's kind of a gold standard for you and you can always do a 1-10-1 pyramid, you know, that's kind of a good assessment tool. Like if you do that one day and next thing you know, you only get to 6 or 7 mm-hmm. and you can't push it anymore. You're starting to fail on a couple of different exercises.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good indicator that you're doing too much.
Yeah. And that's not to say that like the workout is something that you historically have never been able to, that's like, these are the things that you should be able to complete with regularity.
Yes.
Right. We're not talking about the 50K. We're talking like it's a normal, difficult, intense training day and just ran out of gas.
Yeah, it can be a 5x5 workout that you normally do, you know, with the same weight that you've been doing for decades or whatever years. And then today just, you can't do it at all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, listen to your body because it's talking to you. And if you don't listen, it's going to start yelling at you.
For sure.
And eventually it's going to come to a point where it says, okay, I'm done. And you are too. And now you need surgery.
Yep. Your body will very quickly remind you who the boss is. Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
So don't you, that is a battle, folks, a war. That's a battle you cannot win. There's no amount of eating, there's no amount of sleeping, and there's no amount of pharmaceuticals that can compensate for overtraining.
Yeah.
Just can't, right? Now, sleep helps, certainly diet. I listed like the two things that are the best way to mitigate overtraining.
Right.
But at the same time, you need to take some time off at times.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, we talk about this a lot in our recovery podcast where you just got to have that balance, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're really, really training hard, you need to really ramp up your sleep, your nutrition, your hydration, your electrolytes, you know, all compression gear, mobility days, all those things need to be like up the notch too. Otherwise, you know, you throw in a bad night's sleep and you're going to start seeing overtraining symptoms. You throw in a killer workout, you're going to see overtraining symptoms. And even though you are optimized at all your recovery, you're not going to be able to take care of that, you know, 50 miler or that marathon on a whim, or, you know, whatever that gut check is for the week. You know, don't, you know, I understand the gut check thing. I did them. I was lucky I never got injured doing them. But I think I also did it smart, you know, because, you know, I played rugby during college, you know, so that was a time where, you know, I was getting banged up, you know, but it was a different type of workout, you know. It kind of got me away from, you know, all the miles of running or swimming, you know, a lot and doing high rep calisthenics, you know, kind of got me into lifting cycles a little bit during the winter, you know, so you just kind of go through this little cycles of, you know, not doing too much for too long. And that's the key, because if you have 3 or 4 years to prepare for buds, you know, the last thing you want to do for 3 to 4 years is train solely for buds. You know, that's why Jeff and I have periodization programs. You know, he'll put in a block of hypertrophy. He'll put in a block of strength training, you know, whatever that is. You know, I go through this bell curve of through the year. You know, my workouts fit into a year plan. You know, and that's, you know, that's just the way, you know, you can do it healthy that way if you if you think about it that way versus just some random gut check every day.
My final piece of advice is this, and it'll make sense, I hope, but imagine an individual, let's say, like, I start getting sick, right? I get sick. I'm kind of at the apex of that cold or flu. And now it's a race. It's like, I would say, your recovery days should look ideally like you are sick. The way that you treat yourself, rest, eat, hydrate, like, that's your recovery day should look like a day that you're trying to recover from an illness. Because essentially that's kind of as far as the nutrients that your body wants, the rest that your body wants, the relaxation your body needs, is going to look an awful lot like you're trying to get over a flu. Your off day should look like a day that you're trying to take care of, or trying to fight. Like, you can feel a cold coming on. What do? Start chugging the water, drinking emergency. We start eating as much as we can. That's what your off day should look like. Like, you're trying to treat asymptomatic flu or cold symptoms.
Great idea. You know what? That's funny, because I know I'm dehydrated. Like, right here, right now in the summer, it's starting to get hot and humid, and I'm wringing out sweat during my workout. I can come home, I can hydrate, I can, you know, eat my proteins, you know, eat all the foods, I can carb up again. But if I miss out on something, my electrolytes, I'm dragging ass for the next couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
So I always have come down to treat dehydration like I have the flu. Because that's really why you feel like crap when you have the flu. You're just crapping everything out, and you just, you know, you're dehydrated. So, you know, treat like you got the flu. Treat overtraining like you got the flu. Yeah, that's a great way to explain it. I like
that. Especially when you're at Buds. Oh, just, man, think every day when they secure the class, be like, well, got to go take care of this sickness. I got to eat. I got to get clean, and I got to go to bed.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like that.
Yeah,
that is that. You just simplified that tremendously.
There you go. There's your next article.
I like it. I love it. All right. So, thank you guys. That was part two of this Goldilocks series. And next one, we will talk about the perfect model. Yeah. All right, the one that's just right.
Perfect. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.